Yesterday, my son got a hold of a sefer for me, and I want to share two pieces with you. I thank, as always, David for helping me circulate that. And this is a Rav Moshe Rotberg from New Jersey, Toms River, New Jersey. I don't know if you know him. I thought you might know him. Of course, he has his haskamas from the Lakewood Yeshiva, Rav Malkiel Cutler, but he also, it caught my eye, he has a letter here from Rav Shlomo Miller and the Toronto Kollel. So he must have learned in Toronto for some time. In any event, the first tshuva that I want to study with you is about the following issue. We know that during this time of Corona, there have been many situations in which we had to violate the Shabbos for a chola sheyesh bo sakana. This tshuva is not addressing a chola sheyesh bo sakana, but dafka chola she'ein bo sakana. So we're not talking about a violation of the Shabbos for saving someone's life. That's not at stake. However, there's a need to violate the Shabbos, in this case, to transport certain machshirim, certain vehicles for someone who has corona, and again, for many people, this will come up over and over again, and they found a guy who is willing to drive. He says it was on a volunteer basis. He calls him from the Chassidei Umas Olam. In any event, this guy is willing to drive and transport these machshirim, in certain cases masks that are necessary in order to help the medical staff. It's not real pikuach nefesh, but the issue of amir la'akum, or what we call meleches akum, when a guy does melech for you on Shabbos, he says, there's no question about it, it's mutter. Now the question is a Jew allowed to join the ride? The Jew would be what we call the supervisor, and he would oversee the project, make sure that everything is done properly. And is he allowed to hop in for the ride, so to speak? Now, I'm not trying to be negative, because I don't mean it haphazardly. I mean, he's definitely has a tzorach here. We need him. The Shoel asks the question in a case where if there was no Jew around, they would still send the guy and they would rely on the non-Jew to make sure that he, and assume that he did what he had to do and he took the right machshirim, the right, the right utensils, that's not a good word, but the right medical equipment, that's a better word. But if things are ideal, we would like to send the Jew along to make sure that, you know, nothing was forgotten. And the question is, can the Jew go in the car? Later on, we'll see that Rav Moshe Feinstein has a classic shaila of about a husband joining for the ride when his wife is going to the hospital to give birth. We'll get to that in a few minutes. So again, there's no suffolk, no doubt that the guy is allowed to do this on behalf of the Jews. There's enough of a tzorech, of a need, such that we could overlook what we call meleches akum. But what about the Jew? Now, the issue that he's going to take up here, which I found was quite interesting, is called Ribui Shi'urim, which means that if on Shabbos we have to do a malacha, and we're allowed to do that malacha for whatever reason, what's the deal of adding something without really fundamentally changing the malacha? For example, if we're cooking on Shabbos, on behalf of a chole, are we allowed to add extra food? Or do we keep it down just to the bare minimum? And that's called ribui shiurim. In the case, for example, meleches kotzer, let's say we have to cut something down, a branch or a tree, in order to get the fruits or whatever's growing, are we allowed to cut down a branch that has many fruits on it? We don't need more than one or two. And that's called ribui shiurim. So this particular tshuva opens with a quote from the Beis Yosef in a very famous simon in Hilchos Shabbos called Shin Yud Ches. Those who are preparing for exams, for smicha, they'll know exactly what Shin Yud Ches is, a major simon in Or HaChaim in Hilchos Shabbos. And the Beis Yosef, Rav Yosef Cairo, records a machlokes between the Rashba and the Ran, two of the great Chachmei Sfarad of the Rishonim, as to whether or not Ribui Shiurim is a violation of a Doraisa or a Durabonon. And the Beis Yosef begins by quoting the Rashba that the whole issue of Ribui Shiurim is only a Gzera Durabonon, Shvus Durabonon. Why did the Rabbanon institute the Shvus? And the language of the Rashba, and again, you'll see this on page 1 if you have the pages that you receive, is that Chashashu Chazal She'im Yehe Mutal Ahosif Basar B'tocha Kedera. We're afraid the following. He's preparing the pot before he puts it on the fire. We're afraid that if he adds extra basar, extra meat, beyond what he actually needs, he might add it not only before he puts the pot on the fire, but inadvertently he might add it after the pot is already on the fire. Which means, according to the Rashba, the heter here, on a Doraisa level, of adding extra meat, is because when he puts the pot on the fire with extra meat, he's not involved in an extra Maisa Malacha. There's one Maisa Malacha which he's allowed to do for the sake of a Chola. He's just changing the quantity of meat within the pot. But he might make the following mistake. You're telling him to add the extra meat before he puts the pot on the fire. He might come, put the pot on the fire, and add that extra meat even after the pot is on the fire. That would be a violation of Meleches Bishul Doraisa, and it's absolutely not justified. He doesn't need that extra meat. So the extra meat might be added before he puts the pot on the fire for various reasons. It might enhance the taste. We could take a piggyback over this Bishul, and on a Doraisa level it would be perfectly okay. That's the Rashba's contention. The problem is that if we allow him to put the meat in the pot before he puts the pot on the fire, he might make the mistake of putting the meat into the pot once the pot is on the fire. And that's a Malach D'Oraisa Bishul, and because of this problem and this chashash, this possibility, the Rabbanon prohibited adding anything to the pot, even before he puts it on the fire, if it's not absolutely necessary. That's the tshuva of the Rashba. The Ran, on the other hand, understood that Ribui Shiurim is Doraisa. And Mirz Hashem will try to explain why should it be Doraisa if he adds extra meat before he puts the pot on the fire. What difference make whether he puts the pot on the fire with one piece of meat or two pieces of meat? It's the same bishul. So we'll get to that in Mirz Hashem in just a minute. Now, having presented the Beis Yosef and the machlokas between the Rashba and the Ran, whether or not ribui shiurim, adding extra meat into the pot, is a violation of Malach Doraisa, so it's only chashash d'rabbanon, shvus d'rabbanon, he then goes ahead and quotes a tshuva the Minchas Yitzchak, who was the chief rabbi of the Haredi community in England and subsequently settled in Eretz Yisrael, and he was a rav here in the Badatz, the head of the Badatz here in Eretz Yisrael. The Minchas Yitzchak writes that if, let's say, you have an automobile that has to drive on Shabbos for whatever reason, says the Minchas Yitzchak, if you want to add extra cargo, extra weight, or an extra person to the car, to the automobile that's driving, whether or not this would be mutter or asur would depend upon this machlokus between the Ran and the Rashba. Meaning that if ribu shiurim is a doraisa, then if you add extra weight to the automobile, or you yourself jump on the automobile, that would be a violation of a doraisa. And we're not going to be very excited about allowing such a thing. However, if you go with the Rashba, then the Minchas Yitzchak is inclined to be matir. And at the end, he says that since this whole question of ribu shiurim in a case of an automobile is possibly a violation of a doraisa based on the Ran, because ribu shiurim is doraisa, therefore, he says, we're only going to allow this when it is a tzorech gadol, only for great need. So unless there's really a very, very definite need, to add to the weight that's being driven in the car is a problem. Okay. Ad kan, up until this point, is the Beis Yosef and the Minchas Yitzchak. The author of this sefer, which is called Lahachyos Am Rav, subtitled Iyunim Betzel HaMagefa, claims that even if I would hold like the Ran, that ribui shiurim is a doraisa, nevertheless, that doesn't apply to every single malacha. And he quotes Rabbi Simcha Midvinsk in the Or Samech, who differentiates between two categories of Melecha Shabbos. There's one category of Melecha Shabbos, like for example the case that I gave you before of Ktsira, when he harvests and cuts down a tree, let's say, that has more than one fruit on it. In such a case, the Ran, Lishitaso, would say that you are violating into Doraisa. But not so, for example, in a case of Shechita. Let's say, for example, you had to slaughter a chicken for the sake of a chol on Shabbos. Would it make any difference if it was a large chicken or a small chicken? Of gadol or of katan? According to Rabbi Simcha, in such a case, everybody would agree that with regard to the malacha called shochet, which is a malacha of netilas neshama, it makes no difference what the weight or the size of the oaf is that you're shechting. What's the fundamental difference that Rabbi Simcha has in mind? We have two categories of malachas on Shabbos. The first is a malacha in the number of objects that are being improved, if you will, by virtue of your malacha. So, for example, in the case of the branch of a tree that has two fruits on it, you are now cutting down two fruits. Your action hasn't changed one iota, whether or not the branch has one fruit or two fruits. It's the same exact act of cutting. But we define and classify meleches ktsira of reaping as a melech that's done by removing the nourishment or the source of nourishment for each one of those fruits. So, in a sense, when we cut down a branch with two fruits, the melacha is being done, the melacha of ketzira, on each one of those fruits. That's where the Ran says that there's ribui shiurim on a doraisa level. Not so in the case of shechita. Shechita means pisuk chius, meaning you've cut the life of the animal, in this case the bird. It matters not what the size of the bird is. The malacha is in the act of shechita. The malacha is in the pisuk chius, as we said before, to cut off the life the life source of this bird. Now, with regard to Bishul, the Ran would argue, presumably, that Bishul is Doraisa, and that in Ribu Shirim, that means that how many vegetables are in the pot, or how many pieces of meat are in the pot. The Bishul, which has an impact on the meat, taking it from something that's not edible because it's raw to something that's edible, perfecting it, is being done on every single piece of meat that's in the pot. So that now, according to the Ran Shita, the Malacha of Bishul, like the Malacha of Ktsira, engenders a violation of Ribui Shi'urim Doraisa, because you are now implementing an act of Bishul on every single object, on every single piece of meat that's in the pot. But if the Malacha is not on every single piece, but it's a Malacha that's just one Maisa, one action, and it's irrelevant how large or how many pieces there are, in such a case, the Ran would also agree that Ribui Shiurim is not Doraisa. And therefore, and I'll get back to the Rashba, that Ribui Shiurim is Drabbanan in just a minute, the Mechaber, the Sefer, argues that the Ran would certainly agree in the case of an automobile that is transporting whatever material or as many people as there are inside the automobile, the malach itself is being performed by a guy. The guy is the one who's driving the transit. Therefore, it matters not how many different people are traveling inside the transit. His action, which is being implemented on behalf of the Jew, is not in any way impacted by the number of people that are in the car. You know, it's going to be the same, you know, turn on the ignition and the same amount of gas that's being used. And he writes, L'gabi Akum, in the case of a guy, the whole concept of Ribui Shiurim, the way that the Ran formulates it as a Doraisa, is inapplicable. You can't tell me that we're going to define the Malacha by its various, you know, implications or impacts, and now the Malacha changes. Certainly in the case of a guy, that's not possible. Now, let's go with the Rashba. The Rashba holds that Ribui Shiurim is a Gzeira D'Rabbanan. Well, I understand in a case like Ktsira or Bishul, we have a Gzeira D'Rabbanan, that he might inadvertently add another malacha because you're letting him do it in this way, he might do it that way. But in the case of a guy driving a car, where's the Ribui Shiurim Drabana? And at the end of this paragraph, he quotes a Tshuva the Hartzvi, Ratzvi Pesach Frank, if you're familiar with that name, he was the chief rabbi in Yerushalayim. And he doesn't understand a paragraph in Rav Meir Simcha. We quoted before the Or Sameach, and Rav Meir Simcha, in his Chidushim, his insights into Hilchos Shabbos, wavers back and forth about Meleches Hotzah. And is there a Ribui Shiurim in Meleches Hotzah? Is there not? And Rav Tzvi Pesach Frank doesn't understand the nature of this suffix of why. Why does Rav Meir Simcha vacillate? Certainly Otsah is achieved on every single object that you move when you relocate an object. And in this case, again, he did one Maisa Otsah on many different objects. But it's exactly like one Bishul or one Ktsira on many different pieces of food. And in the Otsah, the impact is on every single piece that you relocate. So I had two pieces of meat in Rishus HaYochid. I carried them in a tray to Rishus HaRabim. I put them down in Rishus HaRabim. I now have replaced or relocated two pieces of meat. And therefore, it seems to be absolutely clear, without a shadow of a doubt, that Hotzah should be subsumed under those malachas like Tzira and Bishul, where every single chefetz, every single object that's being impacted by this one pu'ula, one action, is a separate malacha. Rabbi Simcha must have thought, again, he doesn't point this out, that maybe the malacha is in the maisa hotza. It's just the action that you do. So if you're carrying a tray and you're relocating, it doesn't matter how many objects you are, the malacha is not in the object, the malacha is in the gavra, in the action of the person. But be that as it may, if you take the case of driving a car, and in this case the guy is driving the car, we'll see about a case where the Jew is driving a car, then the whole concept of ribui shiurim is totally out of whack. It doesn't apply. Now at this point he quotes another tshuva from Moshe Feinstein about the case of a husband who wants to travel on Shabbos with the taxi or whatever car that's transporting his wife to the hospital to give birth. And here in this paragraph, he quotes a Moshe verbatim. He says the following: "Be'inyan nesiyah b'mechonit, as far as driving in the car, lo shayach, the concept of shema yarbe b'shvilo, and this gzeirah d'rabbani, he's learning like the Rashba that ribishur means that maybe they'll do a separate action on behalf of the person who is not a cholin. There's no matir for that." He says that doesn't apply to a case of driving a car. Nothing has impacted in terms of the drive by adding another person into the car. There's no chil Shabbos involved whatsoever in the husband going along with his wife. Again, there might be an issue here, he says, of Maris Ayin. Why is he driving in a car? But if the husband's presence at the time of his wife giving birth is somewhat helpful, even if that's not classified as pikuach nefesh, but if it's only an issue of Maris Ayin, we can overlook Maris Ayin for the sake of the husband. As far as Chil Shabbos is concerned, Rav Moshe postulates that with regard to a nesiyah b'mechonit, in a case where the car has to go anyway because of har pikuach nefesh, he doesn't see any iser, says Rav Moshe, in the husband joining the car, not midoraisa and not even midrabbana. The only qualification that he adds is that it's got to be tocha tchum. There would be a problem of chutz l'tchum. Now, when a person is kona shvisa on Shabbos in a certain place, that's where he was at the outset on Shabbos, he's not allowed to leave more than 2,000 amah outside that area, or if it's a city outside the outer boundaries of the city, unless he makes an Erev Tchumen. And therefore, if he drives in the car, he is violating an Issur Tchumen. And that would have to come under a real Pikuach Nefesh situation to allow that. But other than that, we're not going to allow that. So Rav Moshe says, if he's traveling in the car from one side of the city to the other, one end to the other, and he's joining his wife, there's no ribui shiurim here. Not midoraisa, not midrabbana. And at this point, you get the impression that Rav Moshe is of the opinion that if this car is traveling from one rishus to the other within the same city, let's say, for example, the transport is going from rishus harabim into rishus hayochid, this is not called ribui shiurim. And this touches on the issue that I mentioned earlier about the Har Tzvi and Rav Meir Simcha about Hotzah, whether we view Hotzah in terms of the objects that are being relocated, and it's like Tzira or the case of Bishul, or do we see it as one Maisa and you don't divide it up into the amount of objects that are being transported? Here, Rav Moshe seems to assume that we don't look at the different people who are driving in the car, we just look at the act of driving the car, and there's no issue of ribui shiurim. The problem is that Rav Moshe himself, in the same tshuva, addresses a case of of military personnel that have to transport on Shabbos equipment, and Rav Moshe prohibits adding extra equipment to the car if that equipment is not necessary. In other words, you don't have the halachic permission to say, well, the car has to travel anyway. Let's just add, you know, more equipment that has to get there in any event. And Rav Moshe is opposed to that. And that would seem to indicate that if the husband wants to go along with his wife, that should be prohibited, not just because of Aris Ayin, but because of the malacha of transporting something from one rishus to the other. In any event, the bottom line of this whole discussion, which you'll see on page 3 in a short paragraph, is what's called shvus to shvus b'makom mitzvah. And we get back to our Corona case. So we have a guy who's driving medical equipment for the chola on Shabbos. That we said was not a suffix, that's certainly mutter. And the question is, once the car is driving, can a Jew join so that he can supervise the whole operation? Maybe he's a member of Hatzolah, whatever he is, and he wants to make sure that the right equipment is being transported and the number of masks that are needed, etc. So there's a tzorech, there's a need, and that's a mitzvah. And not only that, it's shvus to shvus. Why? Because it's the guy who's doing the maisa malacha, and when the Jew jumps on the bandwagon, so to speak, that's a shvus to rabbanon. On top of that, ribui shiurim is only a shvus to rabbanon. So if you have a meleches akum, which is the rabbanon, and ribui shiurim, which is the rabbanon, if we assume that ribui shiurim does apply in the case of the automobile, which would seem to be the implication of Rav Moshe when he discusses the military personnel that are transporting X number of equipment from here to there on Shabbos, and you're not allowed to add anything else. But since it's shvus to shvus, it's one shvus on top of another, and it's b'makom mitzvah, then the Jew is allowed to go. However, if the Jew is driving the car, and there's a pikuach nefesh situation, this is a whole different set of circumstances. Now you want to add your weight to the car, and that's going to change the malacha of transportation over here. If we assume that this is ribui shiurim, it's a shvus, but not a shvus to shvus. It only becomes a shvus to shvus if the driver of the car is a non-Jew. But if the driver of the car is Jewish, then you need a real tzorech. It's not just that, well, we'd like to have another person whose presence will help the situation, but there's got to be something very substantial in order to allow the violation of ribui shiurim. So again, let's just summarize what we said. Logically, it's quite possible that we could argue that in the case where the guy is driving the car, there's no issue of ribui shiurim at all. Even according to the Ran, who would classify ribui shiurim as a doraisa, that's only when you're involved in a malacha, and you might expand the malacha by adding extra weight, extra objects. Here, when the guy is involved in the malacha, this should not be ribui shiurim at all. However, based on both the tshuva of Rav Tzvi Pesach Frank in Har Tzvi and the tshuva of Rav Moshe Feinstein in Igros Moshe, at least that part of the tshuva when he discusses the military transport, it seems that adding your weight to the car that's transporting whatever is necessary is a problem of ribui shiurim. And there, we're going to have to institute the following proviso. It's got to be not only ribui shiurim, but on top it's got to be a meleches akum, and then we're going to apply the principle of shvus to shvus b'makom mitzvah. But if, on the other hand, it is a Jew that's driving the car, in a case of pikuach nefesh, then if we assume that adding your weight to the car is going to be a problem of ribui shiurim, then we're left with one shvus. But again, this contradicts the final conclusion of Rav Moshe, unless we assume that Rav Moshe's tshuva would only be matir if a guy is driving his wife to the hospital. Rav Moshe is not talking about a case where a Jew is driving. Let's say you have Reuven who's driving Leah to the hospital, and Leah's wife, Shimon, wants to join his wife in the hospital. Rav Moshe would not allow that, because that's one shvus b'makom mitzvah. Unless, again, you come to the conclusion that's pikuach nefesh. But I'm saying, assuming it's not pikuach nefesh, then Rav Moshe is only allowing it in the case of a non-Jew. By the way, here in Israel we have an organization called Eza Mitzion, if you ever heard of it, and they guarantee that when a woman is pregnant, they will respond to a quick call and send an Arab driver to take her to the hospital. And in such a case, Rav Moshe would be matir, the husband going along in the car, because again, it's going to be a shvus to shvus b'makom mitzvah. And I would take a break now for questions, and if not, I have a lot to share with you today, so that's up to you. Now, we did three pages, so you should have page 4, which appears in this Sefer on page Nun Aleph. And he opens up a whole issue in how to paskin, which has a tremendous impact on Corona. And if I had to title this, or categorize this piece that we're going to learn, this essay we're going to learn, I would call it Rules of Psak. And Corona is going to change the rules of Psak. What does that mean? When we have issues that come up, then the halacha paskins for individuals. But on occasion, we find that the halacha addresses the tzibur as a whole. And when the issue becomes communal and has an impact on the tzibur, we're going to prove that the halacha and the rules of psak undergo a change. And in his introduction to this essay, he quotes Amora Hora Zaken V'Chashuv. He leaves him anonymous. I can only begin to guess who he's referring to. He says that he was alive in 1948 when they established the State of Israel. And he's quoted as saying, this Mora Hora Zaken, that a lot of people are worried about the establishment of the state because it might have some impact on our hashkafa. Maybe it's not the right hashkafa that the Jews should establish their own state. You know, the whole great controversy about establishing the state. He says, that's not what bothers me. What I find the challenge, says this Moro Razokin, is that now with the establishment of the state, the entire structure of Psak Halach has to change. And we're not ready for this. Because now, any time we issue a Psak Halacha, it's going to have impact on the entire state of Israel, on the whole community, the whole Yishuv. We're no longer paskening for individuals. We are now, almost in every case, paskening for the entire tzibur. And now we have to go into a whole new mode, and we have to study Halacha and Psak Halacha as far as the tzibur is concerned. We have to create a whole new Shulchan Aruch with the rules of Psak for a tzibur. That's what he points out in the introduction. So we have to thank the Rabbanut Harashit, you know, back at 1948 and all subsequent decades that have broken new ground in the rules of Psak, because they've now changed the rules and they're addressing the Tzibur, and that's breaking new ground. On your pagination, this should be page 4. Please let me know if that extra effort that I put in to type in the page numbers is helpful, because otherwise, if it doesn't help anybody, I could save myself that effort. So you let me know. And on the bottom of page 4, going on to the top of page 5...
But I have a question.
Yes, please.
Question.
Oh, Chaim, how are you?
Why should it make a difference? Yeah, Baruch Hashem, thank you. Why should it make a difference in the halacha if it is for a yachid or for the tzibur?
Excellent question. He quotes a Gemara in Masechta Shabbos. This is the breakthrough Gemara that sort of like sets the entire framework for our discussion today. The Gemara is going to tell us that in some situations, when we're dealing with a yachid, an individual, we can be more lenient. But when we're dealing with a tzibur, we have to be more machmir. Again, we're going to see that it goes in both directions. In some cases, we dafka have to be more makil for the sake of the tzibur. But in any event, it goes in both directions. The rules of Psak will change whether or not this is going to have an impact on the Yochid and only the Yochid, or on the Tzibur as a whole. What's the case in the Gemara? We're talking about Meleches Kibui, Mechabe, to extinguish a fire. The Gemara in Shabbos on Daf Mem Beis quotes Shmuel. And Shmuel says that if you compare the following two scenarios of Kibui, one is called Gacheles Shel Eitz, the other is called Gacheles Shel Mateches, then the halacha will change as far as Kibui is concerned. Let's explain. If you have a piece of wood that was burning hot, right? Let's say it fell out of a campfire. And now you want to extinguish the fire because you're afraid that someone might get injured by this very, very hot burning piece of wood. Says Shmuel, that is Meleches Kibui. And Meleches Kibui is one of the 39 Melachos. We cannot allow it. But if the exact same case would happen with a Gacheles Shel Mateches, which means there was a burning hot piece of steel or iron, some metal substance, then Shmuel says, Mechabim Gacheles Shel Mateches. Why? What's the heter to extinguish this very hot piece of burning metal? Bishvil shelo yizoku bo rabim. Because if the public has access to this burning mateches, you increase the statistical probability that someone will be injured. And therefore, we're going to allow you to put this out. So now the question arises, what's the difference between a Gacheles Shel Eitz and a Gacheles Shel Mateches? They're both burning hot. They're both very dangerous. And you can ask yourself the question, is it in a public area or is it not in a public area? It could be a Gacheles Shel Eitz in a public area, and you should be afraid, Shebi Yezuku Barabim. It could be a Gacheles Shel Mateches in a private area. So Rashi explains. Rashi says that the Malacha of Mechabe is what we call Meleches Machshavos, meaning the purpose of the Malacha is to create coals. Pchamim, it's called. In the case of a Gacheles Shel Eitzim, of wood, by extinguishing this fire, we've created coals. That's called a creative malach. Every malach has to be a tikkun and not a kilkul. But in the case of a Gacheles Shel Mateches, he is not creating pecham, he's not creating any sort of a coal, a Gacheles. And therefore, the malach is only durabana. And herein lies the difference between the two cases that Shmuel addressed. In the case of a gacheles, shel eitz, when you might be involved, and you will be involved, in a kibui doraisa, we're not going to allow you, even for the sake of the rabim, to extinguish this fire and violate Meleches Kibui Doraisa, biblical violation. Whereas, in contrast, in the case of a Gacheles Shel Mateches, where even in the worst case scenario, Meleches Kibui is only a rabbinic violation, there we could be more mekil if there's some sort of chashash, or we're worried about the rabbin that somebody will get injured. Adkan Rashi. However, the Gaonim, that's historically before Rashi, the Bahag, Rav Haigon, Rabbeinu Hananel, they have an entirely different take on this sugya. They claim that the difference between a gachelah shel etzim and a gachelah shel mateches is not a difference between kibui doraisa and kibui drabanan, but rather between hezek shel rabim and no chashash of hezek shel rabim. And here's the way the Gaonim understand it. In the case of a log of wood, it is obvious to the naked eye that this wood is still red hot. And therefore people will be very careful. We don't really have a serious chashash that would allow us to violate Meleches Kibui. Masha Enken, in the case of metal, when you heat up metal, maybe it became red hot, but even after it cools off, in inverted commas, and it's no longer red hot, and it looks like a piece of metal, it is still burning hot. And we have to worry if this metal is accessible to the Rabim, that there's a very high probability, so to speak, relatively high probability, that one of the Bnei HaRabim will be injured. And as a comment on this Shita the Gaonim, the Bahag, the Baal Halachas Gedolos, who had this transmission, he had this version of Shmuel, meaning that understanding of Shmuel, he asks himself the following question. How is it possible that if we assume that the Malach of Kibui would apply on a Doraisa level, both to the case of Eitzim and to the case of Mateches, how could we allow putting out the fire in a case of Mateches for the sake of Shlo Yizuko Barab? And if you're going to tell me that it's a Pikuach Nefesh situation, then we should be lenient also in a case of Eitzim. Even if it's only a Yachid, and it's not accessible to the Rabim, but he might be injured, and he might lose his life, Chas v'Shalom, so it should be Mater, even in the case of Gachel Es Shel Eitzim. And to answer this question, the Bahag writes that Afagav de Betravayu Havi Isura Doraisa, both in the case of Eitzim and Mateches it's Doraisa. Nevertheless, they were only Mater Kibui Doraisa in the case of Mateches. Mishum de Nizaka de Rabim Kisakonis Nefoshes Damya. Wow, listen to this principle. Breakthrough principle of the Bahag. And we can assume that it's not just the Bahag, it's also of Ben Hananel, and it's also of Haigon. The Gaonim are saying that we're dealing with a Malacha Doraisa of violating the Shabbos, and we're dealing with a situation which is not Pikuach Nefesh. Because Pikuach Nefesh, there's no difference between a Yochid and a Rabim. So this stipulation, this qualification that we're only allowing you to put out the Gachel Shal Mateches and violate Meleches Kibui Doraisa only because it's accessible to the Rabim. Well, if you're telling me that it's very difficult for the eye to realize from a distance that this metal is burning hot, then even in the case of a Yochid we have Pikuach Nefesh. We should be allowed to put out this Mateches even if the Rabim have no access to it for the sake of the Yochid. And Shmuel only allows it for the sake of Kidei Shelo Yizoku Bo Rabim. The answer must be that we're not dealing with Pikuach Nefesh. You know, Chas v'Shalom, you can get a third degree burn. I mean, that's no fun. But your life is not in danger by coming in contact with this Mateches. But nevertheless, it's a Hezek. Says the Bahag that if we multiply this Hezek for the Rabim, because in this particular scenario that Shmuel allowed you to put out the Gachel Shel Mateches, we're dealing with Rabim, it's accessible to the Rabim. The multiple statistical probability of Hezek the Rabim makes it into Pikuach Nefesh. Do you hear this, Rabbi Osai? It's an amazing breakthrough. Chaim, I hope you're with me on this point. It's just something that boggles the mind. We've never come in contact with this. Again, I would, you know, if you were studying for Smicha in Hilchas Shabbos, I would challenge you and quiz you to see if you've ever taken notice of this Shita of the Gaonim. We're talking about a situation where technically no one's life is in danger. And yet, because the Ravim are in danger, many people might get injured, and we're going to, you know, get back on the Corona bandwagon with this. The Psak Halacha changes. There was one Psak Halacha for the Yochid, and that was a Psak that we would not allow Meleches Kibui Doraisa for the Hezek of a Yochid, and a different Psak for the Ravim. And this is a prime example of what we said at the outset, that with the establishment of the State of Israel, the rules of the game change. We have to organize a whole new Shulchan Aruch about what leniencies we might apply to a Yochid, but now that we're paskening for the Ravim, the Halacha takes on a whole different perspective. Again, if we go back to Rashi's Pshat, then this whole discussion is irrelevant, because again, Rashi says the difference between Eitzim and Mateches is the difference between Meleches Kibui Doraisa and Meleches Kibui Dorabana. We're going to be Mekil in order to avoid Hezek in a case of a Melacha Dorabanan, but not in a case of Melacha Doraisa. Now we're assuming that even in the case of Mateches, we're dealing with Kibui Doraisa, and the Heter is because of the Rav. A whole new set of rules and regulations to Paskin for the sake of the Rav. I'm hoping that, you know, the Kahal here, our group, is excited about this as I am. This just boggles my mind. Yeah, Jeff? Joe. Sorry.
When it comes to fire, Aish, more than anything else, we have this issue, right? People are sleeping, all this kind of stuff. And, you know, the rules have changed a lot recently with regards to putting out a fire, because we're in populated areas. The Rav's going to take this forward to other aspects. Are you going to be able to do that? You know, like, Aish is different.
Again, maybe, you know, rule. I'm going to ask you whether it's Shema Yazuku Bo Rabin. Okay?
Yeah. But
and if it's going to be, if you're going to convince me that there is a possibility of a life-threatening situation that might affect the Rabim, I might be more lenient if it's only going to affect the Yochid, and then I have to ask, well, is it really Pikuach Nefesh or it's not? And I'm going to come to the conclusion that we're not dealing with Pikuach Nefesh, we're not going to allow a violation of Halacha Doraisa where there's no Pikuach Nefesh. But if you multiply that Hezek to the Rabim, even though it's not Pikuach Nefesh for any individual, it takes on the status of Pikuach Nefesh. And now I'm going to violate a Halacha Doraisa for the sake of protecting the Rabim.
I understand, but the Rav's not saying that it's elevated because Aish can become...
No, it's elevated because of the nature of the damage. Whatever is dangerous. Magefa and COVID is dangerous. Now, I'm not going to tell you that, you know, if he wears a mask or he doesn't wear a mask, you know, he's going to die or he's going to live. I'm not going to say that. But what I am going to say is that if you're dealing with a psak for the Rabim, then the statistical probability that someone amongst the Rabim might, you know, be affected by this, that changes the whole rule of psak, as we'll soon see. So he summarizes this, and he says, which I believe would be on the bottom of your page 6, but you have to tell me if that means anything to you, because otherwise, really, have rachmanis on me. Why am I wasting my time by telling you page numbers? And he summarized it by saying that lamadnu chiluk bein hayochid v'atzibur. And in the case of a chashash on the tzibur of nezek, mekilim anu avur harabim, we can be lenient for the sake of the Rabim. Lavar al iser do raisa. The niske harabim kisakonis nefashis chashavuhu. That the Bahag and all of his seah, his whole group of Gaonim, they're real geniuses, they all agreed to this principle that Nezek of Rabim, which is technically not Pikuach Nefesh, is classified and categorized halachically as Pikuach Nefesh. And we go on to page 7, and he has another case. This is fascinating. He says that the halacha of Rabim is relevant not only to Nizkei Mamon, I'm sorry, not only to Nizkei Aguf, but even to Nizkei Mamon. The halacha is going to change when you address the Rabbim, even if we're dealing only with monetary loss. And this is based on a sugya in Masechta Bava Kamma. So we're moving now from Shabbos to Bava Kamma on Daf Pei. And the Gemara says, Ein Megadlin Behema Daka Bi Eretz Yisrael. Now, what's the problem of raising these animals in Eretz Yisrael? There are going to be strict restrictions about how you contain your animals, etc., etc. And the answer is, because Mavir Bisados Acherim. That if you don't control the animal properly, then the animal will roam into other people's fields, and they will damage their sodos, their fields. Now, the Gemara, right there in Bava Kamma, tells a whole ganza maisa. And the story is about a chassid. So we're dealing with a pious Jew. We're not telling a story about someone who's mezalzel in halacha. In any event, he took sick, and the doctor said that he's got to drink hot milk from a goat, goat's milk. Okay, in the Berzon family, as soon as you say goat's milk, that means a lot of different things. My father was raised in Lithuania with his goat that gave milk that supported the family. But anyway, that's, I don't want to get off on a tangent. So this chassid ties a goat down to his bedpost so that every morning, you know, he milks the goat and he heats up the milk, and that's how he saves his life. The Chachamim came to visit him, and they saw that he has this goat, you know, that he's raising, and they raised their finger at him, and they said to him, this is like a list to Mizuyam, like an armed robber that we're visiting here. In other words, they were suspicious of him that he's raising a Behema Daka in Eretz Yisrael, and that's tantamount to Gzela, because the Behema Daka is going to eat from other fields. So they checked him out, and they found out that he's a chassid, that he's absolutely reliable, and he's a saintly fellow who observes the halacha. And when they came to him, he said, Yodea ani she'ein bi avon ela oso ha'ez. Apparently, this was his last moments on earth. That's the impression you get from the Gemara. And he confessed what he considered his one single sin. He's going up to the heavens carrying this negative violation that he raised a Behema Daka in a public area in Eretz Yisrael. So the Meiri asks, I don't get it. What is going on over here? The Rofim decided that his life depends upon the goat's milk. Im lo yishte chalavi zim, mesaken hu es nafsho. What's going on here? Im ken, afil bi'isa do raisa, this whole, you know, institution of an enactment that we can't raise an animal in Eretz Yisrael because of theft and so on. That's all a rabbinic institution. Even if it were an Issa D'oraisa, we would be matirid to save his life. Kolshkei lavor al Issa Gidol Behema Daka, d'eino ela Issa D'rabbanan. So what's the great avla here? Where's the avera? So the Meiri gives the following explanation for the Gemara. For the sake of refuah, we're going to be matter even in Isu Doraisa and in Pikuach Nefesh. But Dovar Shenevar Nesar Michashash Pseidas Hatzibur Harabim Yesh Lahachmir Bo Yoser. Now again, Rabbosai, don't ask me to explain to you this Meir. I don't have a clue. Ayin Shom, you know, you'll take it up in your base medrash and try to figure out, rack your brains on this Meiri. But what do I see from this Meiri without understanding it on a deeper level? Just in terms of the rules of Psak, he is saying that if there's a Hefse Derabim, then we should be more machmir in this case than we would in a case of pikuach nefesh diyachid. Once again, we see that there's a brand new rule of psak that operates with regard to the rabbin. And we probably would want to combine this sugya in Bava Kama with the Meiri, together with the sugya in Shabbos of Shmuel, with regard to the Gacheles Shel Mateches, according to the Bahag. And in both cases, we're going to be more lenient for the sake of the Rabbim. Well, again, it depends which direction you're going. In the case of Shabbos, we're going to be more lenient to violate an Issa Doraisa for the sake of the Rabbim, of Hesek Rabbim. And here, in the case of Hefseid the Rabbim, we're going to be more machmir because of the Hefseid the Rabbim. So again, as we said at the outset, these new rules of Psak that are formulated with regard to the Tzibah to the Rabbim might go in one of two directions. The logic compels you in certain cases to go more lakula, because we're worried about the Hezek HaRabim, and in other cases to go more lachumra, and not to allow the raising of an animal that could cause a hefseid to the Rabim. So they're brand new halachas that are enacted for the sake of the Rabim. Now at this point, I'm just looking at my clock here, and we're getting a little tight on time. So what I'm going to do, which I hate doing this, but we're going to fast forward to the end of the tshuva. And maybe, Bli Neder, if you're interested, next week we'll fill in about 5 pages here of the tshuva, where he analyzes and applies these special rules of psak for the tzibur in great detail, quoting a massive amount of sources. Now, I think you have 15 pages all told. For again, you have to tell me if this is meaningful. If you fast forward to page 14 and 15. He's now talking about the Hatzola in Lakewood, New Jersey. The Hatzola organization. He said that every Shabbos, one member of the Hatzolah will check the Kav Kesher. Right? In Hatzolah, as you know, I don't have to tell you this, the key of keys is the Kav Kesher. In English, it's called a DSL. I remember when I once spent Shabbos with my son, Baruch, in Hollywood, Queens. One of my Talmidim was in Hatzolah. Yakir is his first name. And Baruch was in Hatzolah. They sat in the shul on two sides of the shul. And I'll never forget, I was in the middle. And I heard the Kesher in stereo from both sides. And they saved someone's life that Shabbos. Anyway. So there's one person who has to violate Melechus Shabbos in order to do a test and make sure, beyond a shadow of a doubt, that the communication system is up and running. He calls it Levadesh, to certify Shakol Takin im Achibur. He says the following, that in truth, we don't have a chole, there's no one who's ill, which would allow us to violate the Shabbos. So how is the Hatzolah allowed to violate the Shabbos if it's Ein HaChol B'Fanenu? Again, when you have Pikuach Nefesh to violate the Shabbos or any Malacha or any Yisud Oraisa, you've got to have a Chol B'Fanenu. He says that the answer is that we're going to look at the Tzibur, and within the Tzibur, the statistical probability or possibility of Pikuach Nefesh relatively is great. It's great enough so that even though we don't know v'chola b'fanenu, we're going to violate the Shabbos. We're going to allow the Hatzolah group to absolutely certify beyond the shadow of a doubt that this communication system is up and running. So that im ba'azaka, if there's a call for a chola, for example, he gives a hetkef lev, someone who has a heart attack, rachmana litzlan, then that kesher, that communication system, if it's not takin, then we know that we have a serious pikuach nefesh situation. A person could die almost instantaneously. So therefore, this already is a heter to violate the Shabbos for the sake of the rabbi. Now, we get back to Corona. Now, what he's about to say, I don't know exactly when he wrote this tshuva. I suspect it was a couple of months ago, because now the research has changed a little bit of our hashkafa. He says that, I'm going to read it to you inside. He says, "Ha'igayon b'nogel l'psak ha'yochid shone l'gamri min ha'igayon l'gamri psak l'tzibu." We're going to change our rules of psak for the sake of the tzibu. What's the case? Adam kfar chola b'korona. Yay! I don't know how many people here belong to that category. I think I told you that my son-in-law teaches in a yeshiva, which is a little bit similar to Bobby's alma mater, but they split. Anyway, and in that yeshiva, half of the boys came from chutzlats with had already had corona, and the other half got corona in Israel. So everybody is already past corona. Anyway, he says, Adam shekvar chola b'corona, he's a recovered corona case, v'haisalo b'dikas nogdanim, right, he took a blood test to check his immunity, and he has antibodies. And now the question is he allowed to walk around without a mask? Matzu babdika l'nogdanim shekayomim, he has etzlo nogdanim l'rov. Now the rabbi here, Rav Rotberg, who's writing this tshuva, assumes that if this person is not wearing a mask, there's no issue of sakana whatsoever. Neither that he would become infected, nor that he would infect others. That's the premise here in this tshuva of Rad Rotberg. Again, as I said that I said to you before, COVID is something that every Muntik and Dornstik they change the science of it. So I'm not sure if he would write this today. I don't know. But I'm not so interested in that. I would say that even today, like for example, I know that there are very few hotels that are functioning in Israel, but those who are allowed to be open, it's conditional that every single person who checks into that hotel has to have a test for corona. I don't know if you have similar things in your part of the world. So if the man tested and he has an immune system of antibodies, he doesn't need to wear a mask. If we were only poskening for a yachid, we would tell him, drop the mask. Lamaisa Usr. Why? Biglal chashash sakonas hatzibur. Why is this called sakonas hatzibur? Listovev bachutz b'li hagana. If he walks the streets of Lakewood, New Jersey, in this case, without wearing a mask, ulai ze yigrom le'od anashim, listovev chafshi bachutz, and amongst them might be a person who has corona. So imagine, there's going to be an impression, especially, let's say this, I'm just adding a little bit for dramatic purposes, let's say this person who's a recovered corona patient who now has antibodies is a public figure. People look at him, they watch him, they know he's a reliable fellow, he's a pious Jew who follows all the rules, he would never endanger anyone's life, and he's not wearing a mask. So they're going to come to the conclusion that, corona is no longer an issue, or we don't have to wear masks, and somebody with corona is going to go out publicly without a mask. Al yidei zeh, ulai, perhaps, yigrom, shidobek mishu acher, v'yigrom nezek, v'ulai af mavis, chas v'shom. Somebody might die. Again, if we were only poskening for the yachid, no need for a mask. But we are going to paskin for the yachid in the from the perspective of the tzibur. Again, a whole new set of rules and regulations. He says that a similar shaila came up in Lakewood, and there was a power shortage, hafsakat chashmal. Normally, we would say that this is not called a sakana, this is not an endangered situation, nobody's going to die. Again, it's very uncomfortable to live in the dark, but you know, you could grope around, or you might have to sleep it off, sleep off Shabbos, a bagel, what we call, but no one's going to die. Is ein lechal Shabbos, l'sader es mareches hachashmal. He says, but during Corona, we are going to violate the Shabbos to make sure the chashmal is up and running. Achein b'yemei Corona, yesh kain inyon shal nezek shal rabin, v'nezek shel rabim hu hatzolas nefoshos mamish. It's pikuach nefesh. Ulem moshel. Now listen to the example that he gives. The electricity is gone. Yesh chola corona, and this corona case is dangerous for his life. And he eats warm food, hot food. Now that the electricity is down, Yitzterech lechol ka'ochel kar, cold food, v'koshelo, and it's difficult for him. Again, he's in a very sensitive situation. He's got corona, he's got a bed. Alulhu, it's possible that somebody out there in the Rabim is a chola corona, she'alul lamut al yidei chalishas gufo, v'chisaron tizuna, meaning if he's not getting enough calories, he's not eating, his whole immune system is down, and he can't comfortably eat cold food. And that situation is exacerbated by corona. Nimtza, shechibur mareches hachashmal, by fixing up the electricity system, dover zeno gela hatzolas haravin, v'lachein mutter l'chaber u'l'takein es mareches hachashmal. And that's exactly what they did in Lakewood Yeshiva. Apparently this happened in Lakewood. He doesn't tell you what day it happened, but it was during this corona period. And they violated the Shabbos to make sure the electricity was up and running, because they knew that somewhere in the Rabim there is someone who has corona and is finding it difficult to eat without warming up the food. And as a result, his life might be in danger. If this question were to come up under normal circumstances, it's an issue of the yachid. And when we look at the yachid, no one's dying in the dark. And by the way, he ends the tshuva with like a tefillah HaKadosh Baruch Hu. He says, "Bizchut limodeinu daga leklal hatzibur." We should, in merit of our care and our concern about the entire tzibur, Vatsiruf el tsar haklal kulo, if we empathize with the tsar of the entire community, nizke, we should be zocher l'nachomes harabim, lios haguda acha shel ovdi Hashem b'lev sholem, and therefore Hashem should spare us of this magefa. Amen. He doesn't add that, but we'll add that. Amen. Is that because everybody in Lakewood already had corona, or what?
The community is behaving like you have weddings. You have, you know, it's like there's no social distancing. That's the way the community is behaving right now.
So it's interesting, Bobby. It's, here in Bnei Brak in Israel, you know, the exact opposite happened. Do you know this?
No.
Bnei Brak became green. There are very few areas on the map of Israel that are green. Eilat is green, the Dead Sea is green, and Bnei Brak is green. Now, my high, what does Bnei Brak have in common with Eilat? Not much. But because of the Chil Hashem, I don't know if you were up on the first rounds, and the accusations against the so-called Haredi community in Bnei Brak, they went to the other extreme. They became the model of care and social distancing for the entire state of Israel. They're one of the most urban concentration of people, number one in controlling corona. because they are super careful now in Bnei Brak. Now, in Lakewood, it could be that everyone had corona. I don't know, you know.
Not really, but that's
not really,
the way that
but
they're...
maybe. As I anyway, told you about my son-in-law's yeshiva, everybody had corona. There were three guys walking around with masks because out of 300 students, they're the only three guys that didn't get that didn't have corona. Very strange. All right, Rabbi Sai, so thank you so much, and we'll wish everyone a wonderful week, and thanks for joining me.